Let's join together. Let's stand as we read the word, as we continue this journey through Psalm 119 together. As you guys know, we use the ESV translation. There are Bibles under all the chairs. We've got a bunch more in the back if anybody needs any. So today it's verses 25 through 32. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I'm a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I've chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Wieland. You made it, even with the red alert. Man, me of little faith. Well, good morning. We're so glad that you're here. And if you're new or visiting with us, welcome. We're excited that you're here as well. My name is Mark, and I'm one of the pastors here at Wheatland. And we use the ESV. I'm going to go ahead and read through the word again. And so we had a little bit of a typo there, but I'm going to go ahead and read through it here in just a little bit. If you are new or visiting with us, you don't have a Bible, please take one. You're welcome to that. Consider it our gift to you. We have been going through Psalm 119. And in this series, we've called it Flourishing. Again, I stole that from Sandra McCracken. I can take no credit for it. The idea there is to be thriving, to have success. And we do that with the Word. And not thriving in success from the world's perspective, but thriving in success from a biblical perspective. So what is, let me turn this on. So God's word is our examiner. That's what we're going to be looking at. Psalm 119, 25 through 32. What is the goal again of Psalm 119? The goal is to help God's people to desire, to delight, and to depend on God's word in order to shape every aspect of our lives by God's Spirit. Last week in verses 17 through 24, we learned how God's word is our life-giving counselor. And this morning, we're going to look at verses 25 through 32 and learn why we need to humble ourselves and be humbled by his word. You know, we like the word counselor, right, from last week, but examiner? Yikes, right? God's word is our examiner? Well, so the idea, the posture here is, right, humility. So in 2018, I had a situation where I was starting to have chest pains. Heart chest pains, to the point where I needed to go to the hospital. And then as they did some different tests on me and so on, I ended up finding that there were high protein levels, I guess, in my blood and showing that I was having a heart attack. But they could not figure out why I was having a heart attack. They ran all kinds of tests on me. And so I came into that hospital helpless, desperate, wanting them to examine me, wanting them to help me, wanting them to find out, get at the cause of what was going on with me. And eventually they just came to the conclusion that all I had was a virus that attacked my heart. So it was myocarditis. And thankfully, there was no damage done to my heart. But that's the posture that God is calling us to with his word. That desperation, examine me, you know, make me understand, as the psalmist will say here later. So how are you doing spending time with God's word as we've gone through this series? Are you finding that your prayer life is being fueled by God's word? Is there a hunger for God and his word that's growing in you, percolating in you? Or does it feel like a duty or drudgery or a chore, and you now find yourself losing steam? I get it. I get it. Reading through the Bible is hard. It's intimidating. It can be confusing. It's daunting. You've got 66 books in one book. You've got one book that tells the grand overarching story, but then you've got other books that are within that, right? So it's daunting. But here's the thing. We're not going to understand everything in the Bible. And you know what? That is okay. We have a lifetime, Lord willing, to learn to follow Jesus in his word by his spirit. But listen, without our daily dependence, delight, and desire of the word of God, we will remain stuck in our relationship with him, and we will also remain stuck in our relationship with others and with each other. George Mueller was a 19th century evangelist and was instrumental in impacting the orphans of his day. Mueller said this about his daily dependence on the word: I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord, he says, or how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might get my soul happy, get my soul into a happy state, and how my inner man may be nourished. I saw that the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditation on it. Another quote by George Mueller is that in order to enjoy the Word, we ought to continue to read it. And the way to obtain a spirit of prayer, he says, is to continue praying. For the less we read the Word of God, the less we desire to read it. And the less we pray, the less we desire to pray. Isn't it amazing how those two work together? Well, let's read through the Word again, and let's pray afterwards. Psalm 119, verses 25 through 32. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Pray with me. Holy Father, Son, and Spirit, we desperately, Lord, need you to open our eyes to your glorious word. We need you to open our ears and our minds and give us a heart of faith and remove our heart of unbelief. Change our attitude, O Lord, from did God really say to, Lord, we can't wait to hear what you have to say to us this morning. Give us expectant hearts. Give us willing hearts. Give us humble hearts. Show us in your word what it means to humble ourselves to your word and be humbled by it. Graciously break through our stubborn hearts of disobedience and sin and give us a heart that remains steadfast after you, that we may leave here running and longing for more of Christ and his word as your Spirit directs us. In the glorious name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Tim Keller, in his Psalms devotional called The Songs of Jesus, says this about this stanza. He says, contemporary people tend to examine the Bible, looking for things they can't accept. But Christians should reverse that, allowing the Bible to examine us, looking for things God can't accept. And this is what we see our psalmist do in our text this morning. The psalmist allows God's word to examine him. He humbles himself in order to be humbled by it. So here's the big idea. His word is our examiner, and by God's grace, when we choose to humble ourselves and be humbled by his word. So his word is our examiner by God's grace, right? When we choose to humble ourselves and be humbled by his word. Look with me there in verse 25. He says, my soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. The phrase there, cling to the dust, can also be found in Psalm 44, verse 25. Where he says, for our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly clings to the ground. The idea here is one of humility. He is one with the dust, and he is desperate for the Lord. We can also see this posture of heart in Psalm 139, verse 23, where David cries out to the Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. The psalmist is saying, God, I need you. I humble myself before you. What happens when he humbles himself? we see a progression throughout this whole set of verses here. And his resolve to persevere in the faith then grows even stronger. Did you notice the repetition of the word way? Look with me in your Bibles and follow along as best as you can here. Look how many times he mentions the word way. Verse 26, he goes from telling his ways to the Lord. Confession. Verse 26, and then you have in verse 27, to make me understand the way. Then he has in verse 29, to put false ways far from me. Repentance. And then he says, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. Verse 30. And in verse 32, I will run in the way of your commandments. Joyful obedience. Church, this is Christianity. The way up is the way down. Those who choose to humble themselves will be exalted, Jesus said. And those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Matthew 23, verse 12. God in Christ gives grace to the humble, but he humbles the proud. James chapter 4, verse 10. Church, we can humble ourselves and be humbled by Christ's word because he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And then 3 days later, after being buried, rose from the grave and then gave us his spirit so that we could humble ourselves and be humbled by Christ's word. The psalmist progresses from clinging to the dust in verse 25 to then clinging to the Lord's testimonies in verse 31. Again, the way up is the way down. So, two observations. When we, by God's grace, humble ourselves before God and his word, we confess our need for him and are strengthened by his word. Let me repeat that. When we, by God's grace, humble ourselves before God and his word, we confess our need for him and are strengthened by his word. In verse 25, he humbles himself and prays that God would give him life according to his word. Then in verse 26, we see the psalmist confess. And it's unclear, though, here of what he's confessing. Is he being tempted to move in the direction of the insolent ones that we met last week in verse 21? Or the princes, the rulers who are plotting against him in verse 23? This may be the case, but we really don't know. But what we do know is that when he confessed, when he told of his ways, he says the Lord answered him. The Lord heard his cry and confession and was faithful to answer him. Church, when the Lord hears our cries of confession, he too is faithful to answer us. And it results in the psalmist wanting God's word even more. Verse 26 again, when I told of my ways, you answered me, teach me your statutes. Church, God loves prayers of humility and confession. He loves them. Proverbs 28:14 says this, "Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity." I love 1 Peter 5, verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him." And why? Because he cares for you. Oh, church, let us never stop confessing our need for him and his word. Even God help. I need you. God loves. Now we see the psalmist quickly turns to requesting that God make him understand the way of his precepts. And as a result, he then will meditate on his wondrous works. And we saw that last week about God's great wonders, his wondrous works, and how that pointed to his works that he's been doing in the Old Testament. And then it culminates in the New Testament through the life, death, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. And then in the book of Acts, we see the wonders of his works in Acts, where the church is born and persecuted, and it spreads and it grows because the Spirit of God is with the church and growing, and the Word of God is being preached. Now he quickly descends again as he did in verse 25. In verse 28, he says, "My soul melts away for sorrow." Now stop there. You might be thinking, this guy's emotions are all over the place. One minute he is up, the next minute he is down. It's good to know that we're in good company, right? It's good to know we don't have to have it all figured out. But also see here that, but no matter how his feelings fluctuate, he keeps coming back to the one he loves most, God and his word. Church, no matter how much our feelings fluctuate, their feelings, they're going to fluctuate. They are. We need help. We need to keep coming back to God and his word. I love how the Amplified renders this. Verse 28, "My soul dissolves because of grief," because of sorrow. Man, how many of us are there today? Or those who are online watching, where our hearts are overwhelmed with life and grief and the cares of this world, and we're wondering, what is going on with the world? And we're trying to make sense of what God is doing in our lives. And the questions just keep coming. What is the answer to our griefs, to our worries, to when life gets full with cares? Church, it's to turn towards God and his word once again and be reminded of who our true hope is in, and that's Jesus, the living word, and to be strengthened again and again. Let me ask you this question. Is your heart filled with sorrows, griefs, and cares? Maybe you're like David here this morning. In Psalm 69:3, listen to this. He cries out, "I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God." Or do you need to be reminded who satisfies the weary soul? Not going to the New Testament, but going to the Old Testament. Jeremiah 31, verse 25. "For I, the Lord, will satisfy the weary soul, and every languishing soul I will replenish. Or maybe you need to rehearse that God uses the weary and faint for his glory. Amen? Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31 says this: he gives power to the who? The faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall faint, fail exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord, Isaiah says, shall renew their what? Strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Church, God's word strengthens us. He uses it to strengthen our resolve in following him, to give us perseverance, to give us hope, to give us peace, to give us comfort, to give us wisdom, and the list goes on. As Paul says in Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have what? Hope. Second observation. When we, by God's grace, humble ourselves before God and his word, we turn from our ways to his ways, where we experience true freedom. Look with me there in verse 29. The psalmist cries out, put false ways far from me. In verse 26, he told of his ways, right? He told of his ways. He confessed. And now he's asking God to put false ways far from him. The servant of the Lord does not want to be lured away by falsehood or lies in his own heart, or lies of this world, or lies coming from his enemies. It seems to me that the psalmist is praying a prayer of repentance. His desire is to turn away from anything that does not line up with God's word and graciously have the Lord teach him. Literally means, grace me. Grace me, God. Pour out your grace upon me. This repentant prayer we see leads to change from putting away false ways far from him to choosing the way of faithfulness, an outpouring of God's grace. Look with me there in verse 30. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. What does choosing the way of faithfulness look like to you? What is God calling you to in obedience to him? Maybe it's a tired parent who needs lots of grace and patience to help their children understand and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's just sitting with someone who needs a listening ear and needs the hope of the gospel. Maybe it's following through with your commitments and letting your yes be yes and your no be no. Faithfulness isn't something that we cannot live without, according to Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4 says this: let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. write them, he says, on the tablet of your heart. So you will what? Find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Isn't that something? That when we walk the way of faithfulness, when we choose the way of faithfulness, that not only do we find favor with God, we find favor with man. We find favor with people around us. Listen, the only reason that we can choose faithfulness is because of the one who is faithful and always faithful. Amen. We can be faithful because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfectly faithful. 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13 says this: the saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, church, it says he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Where does this way of faithfulness lead the psalmist? Pursuing God's word. Look with me here in verse 31. He goes from, says, I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. And then in verse 32, he says, I will run in the way of your commandments when you, what, enlarge my heart. Did you notice that phrase? Enlarge my heart. There's actually a little footnote in your Bible, probably, that renders this phrase, when you set my heart free. The reason the psalmist can pursue the Lord and his commandments is because the Lord has set his heart free. And on this side of the cross and resurrection and ascension, the Lord Jesus is the reason why we have our hearts set free from sin. Ultimately, our hearts can only be set free from sin by the one who paid the price for our sin. Listen to Jesus' words in John 8:32. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, the next time that you have a day where you are just being bombarded with thoughts and feelings and so on, turn to God's word. Because as you abide in his word, you are reminded of the truth that he has set you free from sin. And the truth will set you free, as Jesus says. And then Paul says in Romans 8:22, but now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The fruit that you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. O church, may the Lord continue to enlarge our hearts, setting our hearts free by humbling them and being humbled by his word and for his glory. I want to close with some application questions again. You could write these down if you're taking notes. Something for you to think about throughout the week. How is God humbling you with his word? Listen, if he's not humbling you with his word, think about this. Are you slowing down enough to hear from him in his word? I know it's hard. It's hard. I mean, I sit down and I start reading my Bible and I want to think about all the tasks that I got to do. Right now I've got that Bible plan that I'm following. It's on my phone, and every time I see an email pop up, I'm like, oh, I should answer that email. No, I got to read the word, right? It's hard. But unless we slow down and grab our Bibles and find comfort in his word, we're not gonna hear. And so how is God humbling you with his word? And then share with a friend and ask them to pray for you. In the Christian life, the way up is the way down. Yes, he sets us free from our sin, but we still live in the presence of our sin. That power has been broken. But the now-ism of the gospel, living it out now, in the Christian life, the way up is the way down. So why is that so important, and what difference does it make in our lives? As you talk with others, ask yourselves that. And then lastly, what does it mean to be free in Christ? And how does God's word by his spirit help us walk in that freedom? Pray with me. Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. Lord, without your word, I mean, why would we even be here? Without your word, Lord, why would we even humble ourselves and want to be humbled by it? Because you have sent your living word and set us free, Lord, from our sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you have opened our eyes and you continue to open our eyes. Thank you, Lord, that we can find strength in your word, just as you found strength in the Father's word when you walk this earth. We can be dependent on your spirit, the same spirit that you were dependent on when you walked this earth. So, Lord, help us to do that. Help me to do that. Help me to slow down, to hear from you, to look to you, the transformer of our lives. And may we continue, Lord, to be dependent on your word, humbling ourselves and being humbled by it. In Jesus' name. Well, I hope you were encouraged just as much as I was in preparing for this morning, preparing throughout the week. There's no way that I can just kind of come up here and wing it. That would be dangerous, especially without his word. Steve, thanks for coming. He's got a table set up there in the back, so if you want to visit with him and have questions, maybe ways that you could get involved with Compass Care, please see Steve. So, well, we finished up with God's Word. We finish up with God's Word here at Wheatland Community Church. This is from Jude, verses 24 and 25. If you feel comfortable in putting out your hands to receive the blessing, the benediction from God's Word, you're welcome to do that. If not, that's fine. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. And all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed.